You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
As we continue to jump through our series on culture, 24 hours, it's always open. Culture never shuts down. I don't know if you know, 24/7. We're going to be looking at media today, and before we jump into that, wanted to go into kind of what the purpose of our of this series is. It's not just to convey some information and you get it and you walk away, because that would keep us at what we would call consumer. And that's what, and today as we talk about media, that's actually what the media wants. Media is just a way to communicate information. And what they would like, what they'd appreciate, is if you'd never question it, and just whatever commercial that they put on, you go buy it. That's what they would love. What the news wants to do is however they report it, you just accept it as amazing, honest, 100% truth, and that's how you go buy it. That's what the media would love. And that is not the heart of this sermon series, because we want educated, thinking, constantly learning, individuals that love God and can truly analyze what's really happening in my life, what is God calling me to do, and to really seek truth. That's what we're going for, because here's what they would love. Consumers, the culture acts upon you and shapes you without conscious knowledge. In other words, you're just going through and da-da-da-da-da, I'm loving it. I am, and you go buy a burger, and that's what they would love. Just go do it. That's it, right? Disney Cruise comes on. Yeah, let's do it. Credit card, I'm on. Four people, two adults, two kids, boom. And they're like, commercial worked, awesome, right? And that's what they would love. And honestly, I don't know the exact percentage, but maybe 80, 90, 95, I don't know what the percentage is of people do. They just receive information and just go with it. And I want you to know, media especially, there's people that are paid a lot of money to say or sing or display an image to get you to feel a certain way, to make you do a certain thing. That's what they're paid to do. And they go to college, they get doctorate degrees, they get all this stuff to figure out, what can I do? They're psychologists figuring out, and then there's a whole team of people to get you to do what they want you to do. And that's, we don't want to just receive that. We don't know what their agenda is, all that. Anyway, consumer, don't be a consumer. So, four stages, consumer. The second one is self-conscious. You got to start becoming aware. Wait a minute. McDonald's, I think, is just trying to get my money. They don't just want me to enjoy those little cheeseburgers that we don't even know what they're made out of. Right? Sorry, McDonald's executives that are listening to the podcast. But become aware of culture-shaping influence. Make deliberate choices. Like, you got to find out what's really happening. I was talking to Pastor Nathan earlier, and he was blowing me away with how some news tries to either cover up or ignore or twist or shape different events. If you want to know what I'm talking about Benghazi later. Blows my mind. I'm like, what? That did not happen yet, dude. I was like, what percentage of people actually know about this? People that really study, maybe 15, 20%. And we're just making up statistics. We don't know. But yeah, like a majority of the people don't know what really happened in Benghazi. Well, let's just take an impromptu poll right now. Who really knows what happened in Benghazi right now? Raise your hand. No one wants to raise their hand, because I don't know anymore, Mike. You just told me not to trust anything. I don't know. Here we go. So you become self-conscious. Start figuring out, being aware, what's really happening in culture, and is it really going in the direction we should go, or maybe not? And then become a critic. Now, when you become aware, you start figuring out, is this really right? Is this really wrong? Is it somewhere neutral in the middle? Is it a medium, and I can go with it if I want to? Or, God, what do you want? You got to start being critical. You got to start thinking, what should I really do with this? And I say no to two cheeseburgers today. I'm going to work on my weight. I'm not doing it, McDonald's. Da-da-da-da-da, back at you. I don't know if that's what I really do at home, but I'm just saying. Anyway. And then lastly, actually become a contributor. A lot of people will stop at critic. Some people stop at consumer. They don't even know. Some people start to become aware, and then that usually, unless they get frightful and just cower away somewhere, usually that makes them go, okay, what's going on? And then they move to critic, and that's usually where it stops. I just want to critique what's actually happening. I just want to complain about the government. I just want to complain about education and tell people what should happen. I'm not actually going to do anything. I'm not actually going to go help in a classroom. I'm not going to actually give funding to things that a lot of people stop at critic. But what we're saying is, no, the real step is to be a contributor. Actually look at what's going on. Is it right or wrong? And then do something. And as we go through the different areas of culture, remember we're covering 7 topics, if we could put those up. Media is just one of them. We've already covered education and family. And soon we'll go on to others like government, spirituality, you know, religion, arts and entertainment, and then economy. As we go through these, you might be called to contribute more in one area or another, which is fine. We're not asking you to become experts at every single thing and contribute 100% to every single thing, because that'd be 700%. I don't even know how that works in math as a human being. But go through and, God, what do you want me to do about this? As a contributor, what do you want me to do? Maybe in education you do volunteer a couple times a year. Or maybe you hear of a need at a school or a community. And, you know, like a lot of times coming on to school, school's coming up in about a month or so. Sorry, kids, if you weren't aware, I know. Some people like to start putting together backpacks with stuff in it. Some people start deciding, am I going to volunteer in the court? Like, whatever. Contribute. In family, maybe like, well, I'm single, I don't have it. No, there's ways that you can help families. And as a community here, I'm telling you. There's some parents out there that would love some free babysitting. Can I get an amen right there? Yeah. Some people, that's the only time they raise their hands in church. Yes, that's it. Babysitting, yes, please. Media is something that is going to cover everybody here. I'm not saying you got to go contribute crazy amounts, but media is something that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. It's not once a week. It's all the time, whether it's billboards that you pass, whether it's you know, whatever you receive, such as television, radio. Like, there's some of us in here, you don't have to raise your hand, but some of us in here, you can't sit in a car and drive anywhere of any kind of distance without something on, okay? And that is, Madge texted me yesterday, and she's like, people nowadays, they need to be fed something, whether it's news or, you know, music or something. Like, it's just, and media knows that, so they create systems in place so that you need it and you feel weird without it. And we'll get to that. But I love the insight she gave me on that one. And so some of you crave media. I don't want to get into Snapchat and your streaks. It's just some made up concept that you have to touch this person. You have to snap at them, or whatever you guys call it, or whatever. We got to snap you. And we've done it, what, 120 days in a row? Yes, we are something. It doesn't mean anything in the universe. But can they stop? No, Dad, please don't make me stop. Right, do your little Snapchat, whatever, streak, whatever. Real Church does not promote streaking. I'm just letting you know right now. But I'm telling you, media is designed to get you to feel or do something. And it's usually not for your benefit. There are some people out there that are doing things, that are advocating there for just purely awesome reasons. But most of the time, especially when it's companies, they're sending out a message. They're doing something to get you to do something. If it's a college, we have some people in here, it's to get you to come, right? If it's a restaurant, it's to get you to come and give them money, and they'll give you some food in exchange, right? They want something. Probably my favorite media day is the Super Bowl, number one, because the Super Bowl is awesome. Go sports, right, Nick? Go sports. I just love football. So Super Bowl is like the pinnacle of football. But not only that, what happens, especially at halftime? Commercials. And it amazes me, number one, how good some of the commercials are. But the other thing is how much money companies spend on this one commercial. So like 20 to 30 seconds during one time of year. Like they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars. And what's heartbreaking to me is sometimes even those commercials are terrible. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that didn't hit at all. You spent all year preparing for that and you spent $10 million or whatever it is and you missed. Yeah. And it's crazy to me, but that's how important media is. Companies will spend millions and millions of dollars for 30 seconds because they know you'll be watching and they're trying to get you to just put their whatever information they want you to have into their brain. It's a huge machine, and so what I want us to do is I want us to see how big it is. That's why I've been spending some time on it. It is a huge machine. But I also want you to relax and realize it's also just a tool. It is just a tool. And if you learn how to critically think through the media, you will not only get a lot of important information, but also you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls that people are trying. You will avoid making decisions that they want you to just consume and just do, okay? I don't know if you've ever talked to Nathan. You keep coming up, man. I think I like this guy. You ever talked to Nathan about vacation sales? He does a good bit on what it's like to go through those guys, and it's hilarious. Ask him later. But basically, they give you all yes questions to get you to buy a vacation spot. So, do you love your family? Well, of course I do.
Yeah.
This is my best Nathan impersonation, by the way. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, and do you like to vacation? Well, yeah. Don't you deserve a vacation? Well, yeah, I've been working hard all year. And don't your kids deserve? They've been going to school like 5 days a week. It's crazy. Yeah, you guys deserve. And then they keep giving you yes questions to go, yeah, it's a great idea. I should. And they show you all these beautiful pictures of beautiful places, beautiful resorts, beautiful food, beautiful people. They don't put the ugly people up there. They don't. I will never be in one of those. Okay? That guy's there? I'm not going there. No, it's everything is beautiful. Why? So that you'll just keep marching towards that credit card purchase. You don't even have, most of us don't have the money for these vacations, but you're like, yeah. And you just keep finding yourself more and more going into this wallet and then being like, yeah, that's what they want. And if you are just a consumer, you're gonna do it. And that's what they want most of us to do all of our life. You gotta wake up. And so here's where let's go to media itself. Number one, media are just tools, okay? The definition, I looked it up, one of the definitions on Google, I used media to research media. It says, media, just communication, tools used to store and deliver information or data. That's all it is. They're just tools. I'm going to go ahead and I texted some people. I did a whole sermon on media and then didn't ask some people that know a lot about media until yesterday. Like, that's dumb. I should ask them. Madge responded back. She said, we now have current instant information about any and everything happening now anywhere in the world. In the olden days, that's literally what she wrote. I'm just quoting. In the olden days. Madge will use olden. Where is Madge? She in the other room? She doesn't get to hear her own quote. That's okay. She texted to me yesterday. In the olden days, the newspaper first. Then came radio, then TV. And up to a certain point, like, that was all media. That was it. Like, we had books, and then we had newspaper, we had print, and then radio. And then if you've ever watched old movies about this time period, like, they'd all huddle around the radio and listen to stories. And was like a good family time. Then TV came, it was in black and white, and you're all watching, like, oh my God, whatever show is. I don't even know what shows were on at that time. I couldn't even think as far back as I go. It was like Leave It to Beaver. About as far back as I go. Okay. You were there? Okay. All right. Anyway, and then all of a sudden there was kind of an explosion in like the 80s and 90s. And then now we have text messages. We have instant message news reporters in every corner of the world who can give an instant eyewitness report in minutes, which is great, right? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe it's good. Probably not, because what happens is, like, in the pros are, you have quick information, right? It's just boom. An explosion happens in minutes. You just happened. Boom. 9:59 and 9:57, this happened. You're like, whoa, crazy. And some of you, because we're so media-driven, you have alarms that go off when news happens. You're like, boom, oh my gosh, 8 seconds ago. Crazy. That's a pro, kind of. I think it's too much sometimes. But the cons are, and she put, they might be biased. I'm telling you, they are probably biased. Like 95% of the time, they're going to be biased. Because even what they are giving on the spot, it's this person's perception, what's the word I'm looking for? Their idea of what's going on, their opinion of what's going on, right? Talking to someone this morning, and he said, something can happen at the White House. You just have a reporter in front of the White House. President Trump might be impeached today. You can just say that. As long as I use the word might, I can say anything I want. Was there an impeachment hearing? No. Is there any serious issue that he's being... Well, that might be true, yes. And that's why it's kind of believable. But here's the thing. Like, you can say it, and then all of a sudden, I watch it, and I tweet... I'll actually text my wife. Like, oh my gosh, President Trump, he might be impeached today. And then he goes, and then it's fourth-hand, fifth-hand information, but then all of a sudden, it's everywhere. He became president that way. Anyway, whatever. In a rush to get the information out to the public, the reporter is most likely to tell the story from their own point of view rather than presenting the facts from both sides of the political spectrum and allowing the hearer to make up their own mind. I don't like that anymore. Now it's just instant information. Whatever I want to give you, that's what I'm going to give you, and I'm going to slant it the way I want you to hear it. And again, Madge is our correspondent right now for the media throughout the ages. But she said, like, it used to be, like, you get the news that was, like, for all week. So reporters could go actually find out the right information, give you what was real, okay? And then it became every day. Now it's every second, every minute, whatever. And it's crazy. A lot of pros and cons to that. And so what we have to do is, if we know this, going into watching the news, I'm not saying don't ever watch news, because then you're completely uninformed. I'm just saying you have to know the intent of who's reporting, what station they work for, what are their political views, who are they getting paid by, because that starts to really slant where they want you to go, okay? So let's just look at, I'm going to read off a couple styles of communication that I found on the internet. There's media, just in general, it's the communication, it's the tools that we talked about. There's advertising media, scary stuff. Broadcast media, digital media, electronic media, hypermedia, interactive media, mass media, multimedia, new media, which is different than news media. New media is just like the newest kinds of media. And then print. And then there's print media, there's published media, there's recording media, social media, media program. Like there's, and it can go on. There's all kinds of media. I don't know what you just said, but yes, there's that. I don't know what. And so just a couple for advertising media. We touched on this a little bit. I don't want to go on too much, but basically, they have something they want to sell or tell you, get you to do something, and there's people that are paid a lot of money to say or sing or present something to get you to do something. And so you just have to know that slant. You just have to know that going in. You don't have to be afraid of these companies. You just have to know they want something from me. What do they want? Is that a good thing? Am I okay with that? And then you go from just consumer and just go out and doing it to like thinking, okay, I know you're a company trying to make money, trying to do something. I know. Is it right or wrong? And now I'm going to tell you if I'm going to contribute or not. That's all you got to do. It's just a tool. And as long as you know that, you know what's going on behind the scenes, we're good. Interactive media. This is one of my favorites. I'll let you know one of my vices in life. It is Clash Royale. Most of you have no idea what I'm saying. It's okay. It's a little video game on my smartphone that if I let it will take up hours of my day. And I want you to know that they want money too. It's crazy. They just didn't want me to just enjoy life. That's not why they created this game. But basically what happens is you're playing this game and they create situations within the game to where I need more stuff. I'm going to geek out right now, whether it's coins or gems or whatever, but I want to upgrade my witch to a level 7. Too much? Anyway. And they create these needs in the game to where I want to be like, you know what? That's only 99 cents? Yeah, let's do it. And I pull out the credit card and I do it. I don't, by the way, because I'm a purist. I just want you to know that. As if it's important. I know. Thank you. In the front row, sir. And then all of a sudden, there's other things. For $4.99, you could do this. For $9.99, you could do this. There's places on there like $50 or $100 for a stupid game. But why is it there? Because they've designed it so that you want it, and there are people that actually pay $50 for an imaginary game about goblins and whatever else. And this is not the only game. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, right? Remember Pokemon Go? Remember that week that like everybody was walking around looking at their smartphone, almost getting hit by buses because they're like, oh my gosh, a Charizard's right there. Oh my gosh. It's insane. But they created a frenzy. And then most of it died up. But then they brought it back last week or something like that, I heard. I don't know. Whatever. But it's crazy. It's interactive. They want you to get you to do something. And it's designed to suck you in. And then hopefully get money from you or advertisers or whatever they're doing. But it's designed to suck you in. I'm not saying you can't play games. I'm just saying watch what's happening. What are they trying to do and why? News media. We've already talked a little bit about this, but news media. Lately you've heard there's real news and there's what? Fake news is a real thing now. You have alternative facts. What? What is it? But literally, you have to watch. Okay, what are you telling me? What's your slant? Why are you saying this to me? I don't know if I believe you. And what's weird is you'll see both sides saying, you know, giving their angle on a certain situation, right? And then all of a sudden, the next month, they totally switch. It's crazy. Because they have agendas, and all of a sudden something happened to where the agendas switch, and they're like, no, get him out! But last month you said he's the greatest person ever, and he should totally do his job. Now you're saying he should go away and go on vacation? What is going on? There's agendas going on. And listen, don't be scared. The Bible talks about it. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. You just need to know, okay, I'm going to take what you say with a grain of salt. I'm not going to say there's nothing happening, but I'm not going to just fully bite onto what you're saying and assume that it's all completely right and true. I'm just going to walk through, and then here's the biggest piece. Slow down and pray. Slow down and pray. Don't make an action. Don't make a decision just based on you just heard some news. Babe, we're moving them into Montana. We're leaving all of this behind. We're going to get those storage units that you can turn into a house, and we're generators everywhere. That's what we're doing. Solar panel. We're living off the grid. We're going off because something's happening in whatever country you want to name. Slow down. Pray. Is God worried? Oh my gosh. Do you see what's happening, Holy Spirit, down there? Do you see it? Let's all panic. I don't see God panicking. He's okay. Just know that it's a tool that they're using to try to get you to use. The news, most of the time, is using fear. Fear. It rains in Chicago. Big news. Okay, big news. It's going to rain. Okay, in California, where it hardly ever rains, they'd call it storm watch. It rained like 2 inches. In Chicago, that can happen in 8 seconds. Like, you ever walk and it just... California would freak out if that ever happened. They would freak out like, oh my gosh, did you see the storm? That? They want to use media to get fear to do what? To keep watching. We've got to watch Storm Watch. Do you remember when... car chases were a big deal? Car chase, come on, babe, I know you're cooking a turkey, get in here, there's a car chase. And you just sit for like 10 minutes watching guys go down the freeway being chased by like 7 police cars. I don't know why we did that, but it was because it was exciting. Oh my gosh, we're kind of part of this, kind of. News is happening. Let's watch it. And news is like, yep, keep rolling on it. So it's just them going on the freeway. They're going to keep going on the freeway. Yeah, keep going. I don't care what it takes. Keep going. There's actual real news happening. No. Watch the car. Anyway, news media. It's designed to get you to keep watching. So they'll keep getting commercials. I don't know if it's about news anymore. I'm not saying all reporters are bad or whatever. It's hard to trust now. But don't be scared. Just bring it in. Think. What are you trying to get me to do? You trying to get me to get a car? You chase? No, just kidding. Social media. This is actually pretty huge, too. This is probably where we engage maybe the most as contributors. And what I want to do is, when we talk about media, there's two sides. One, media that you're being given and having to weed through. And then there's the media that... nowadays, you get to take part in Facebook, Snapchatting, like whatever, you name it. There's a bunch of them out there, right? What are you contributing? What are you receiving? What do you use it for? Are you just like a Facebook addict and you're just there like 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day? Like, can you get up without checking it one day? No. Don't even talk to me about that. But social media is huge. It's one of the ways that it's one of the biggest things that's happened in the last couple of years, and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. I think it's going to keep growing. And so, what do you do with it? All right. Media are just tools is point number one. Number two, and here's where I want to go with it: choose to serve. Media, whether you're the one giving it out or whether you're the one receiving it. What you have to do is you need to realize that most people are using media to get what they want. And what I'm going to propose to you is I want you to use media to serve. If you are somebody that is dispensing media, use it to serve the Lord. If you are somebody that is receiving, make sure that you understand that you're being manipulated to do something. And so what I'm saying is choose to serve. And here's what I mean by that. I was studying media this week, and it really got me to focus on my why. Because if you go, this is my job for this sermon. Go study media. And you guys know how it is. You go looking on the internet, you Google one thing, and then like, there's 10 to 15 options right there, and you look on the bottom, there's 15 pages showing. So real quick, 15 times 15, 225 options showing, and then it has dot, dot, dot. So there's more than 225 things, and then all of a sudden, there's a couple that YouTube is notorious for this. You go, hey, go check out the video. You check out the video, and then it has awesome videos right next that you probably want to watch, right? And you're like, oh, okay, I'll watch that one. And then you're there for 6 hours, like, I just watched 300 magic tricks. Oh my gosh. I just saw probably 50,000 cats. I just like, it's crazy, but that's what it's designed for. If he just had the one video, he'd probably watch and be like, okay, back to my day. That's not what they want. They want you to stay stuck right there, right? Anyway, so I had to study, and so I'm studying it. It just keeps branching off where I could go with media. It was crazy. So then I was like, okay, God, I need you to boil it down for me. God, what are you doing? And he said, look at your reasons why. The people that are in charge of media, the corporations, the companies, all that, why are they doing it? And then why are you on there? So look at your why. So I was looking at my why. And then it's funny because out of nowhere, I don't know if you guys have ever studied the book of Matthew. Well, that's a funny joke. If you've been anywhere with us for the last year, there's a story where the mom, the sons of Zebedee, she goes to Jesus. And I think she's a good mom. I think she just loves her kids. And she's doing, I think, what a lot of good moms would do. She's hanging out with Jesus. Hey, can I have a second of your time, Jesus? I know you're busy healing people and stuff, casting out demons, but can I have a second? Yeah, what's up? Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Let's read it. Matthew 20, 20 through 28, because this causes a lot of problems within the disciples for a minute. Jesus is okay with it. He's going to go through it, but Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully. She's not trying to dishonor. She's not, you know, she's not like a customer on Black Friday going nuts. She understands the situation about what she's about to ask. So she kneels respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. That's not a horrible thing to ask. He's just saying, look, I know you're a king. I know you're a big deal. And you even talked about the kingdom of heaven. And I know you're the guy. So when it's all established, I know you're kind of marching through the desert right now, but I know when you establish your kingdom, when it happens, can my two sons just be important people in your life? Can they have some pretty cool positions? Is that okay? Now, if you look at any mom, like, I can't believe she asked that. Oh, my God. No. It's like, no. She just wants to make sure her sons are taken care of, and she wants them to be important, right? She wants them to have important positions next to Jesus. Is this a horrible thing to ask? No. Because we've been taught, even 2,000 years ago, take care of your family. Make sure your family stays strong. If it's not strong, get it strong. If your family's not taken care of, get it taken care of. If you don't have money, go get the money to take care of your family. It's huge. We dealt with that last week when we looked at the things in culture. Family's huge. And she's fighting for her family. It's not a bad thing. That's her why. Her why is her family. And so she's fighting for it. I want to make sure they're set up so when I'm gone, they're right at the right and the left of Jesus. Good place to be. Kind of. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. You think you're asking, can they have some pretty cool spots here on earth? Next to the king is a good place to be in most kingdoms, but you don't know what you're actually asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? And again, I want us to be critical thinkers and slow down. If Jesus is saying or asking, do you know what you're asking? Are you sure you can drink the cup that I'm about to drink from? And listen to the cup. It's the bitter cup of suffering. Are you guys really going to drink that with me? Oh, yes, they replied. Yes, I will drink that bitter cup of suffering. We are able. Whoa. Not only are you willing to drink something, you don't even know what you're about to drink, but you're proclaiming that you are able. You have no idea. They are totally consumers right now. All I know is we'll be like princes. We're like his right and left hand man. We'll drink whatever you want us to drink. slow down. Slow down, consumers. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. And we know that they do. All the disciples but one end up dying horrible deaths in the name of Jesus. They do drink that bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right and my left. I don't give out those positions. I do what the Father wants me to do. And if he's the one that's going to say who gets to sit on my right and my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. But you don't know what you're able to do. And I don't even have the authority to give those out. And I'll be the king in this case, Mike. I don't know if they got it. But here's what I want. The reason why I believe... No, we'll keep reading. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. They're mad. We're all suffering. There's 12 of us. Why do you two get to be the best spot? But Jesus called them together and said, and here's where he's about to give them their why. You know that rulers in this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so here's the thing. Most of our whys are to take care of ourselves, take care of our family, make sure I look out for number one, right? That's what the American dream is. The American dream is, look, if you work hard, you can have all the stuff that you want. The house. The yard, the dog, the kids, like whatever you want, you can have. And then that's what a lot of people march after. That's what they work hard for. And then build your retirement so you can just go play golf or whatever you want to do the rest of your life. And Jesus is like, no. You're not actually fighting for you anymore. And that is a hard cup to swallow. What do you mean my life is not about me anymore? He's calling to something higher, and your rewards are in heaven. He's changing the why you do things. What are you fighting for? You might be asking, what does this have to do with media? What's the purpose of media? The purpose of media is to get you to do something that they want you to do. And so I want you to know most corporations that can afford big advertising, they're not usually working for God. They're not looking out for you. Now, there are great companies. I'm not saying you have to fear every company or anything like that. I'm just saying you have to know that most of the time they're paying money to get you to do something. Most of the time, buy something, whatever it is. But their company stays alive if you keep doing this. Okay? And again, if you are part of media, you have to use it for God. Okay? And then on the other side, the receiving side, why are you using all the media to do? It's funny because selfishly, all of us are naturally programmed to take care of self, whether it's avoiding pain or moving toward pleasure, we're designed to take care of self, right? And so that's, if you're not careful, what media will do for you. You've had a hard day, you want to numb out, media will give you all the tools you need to just go numb. You have to watch that. So look at your why, and I'm going to read, going back to the media side of things, I'm going to read something from the CEO of Westinghouse. This is back in the late 90s. But it says, in some ways, he says, the emerging global commercial media system is not an entirely negative proposition. But there's some good things. We're not saying it's all bad. It occasionally promotes anti-racist, anti-sexist, or anti-authoritarian messages that can be welcome in some of the more repressive corners of the world. So there's some good things that media can do. But on balance, The system has minimal interest in journalism or public affairs except for that which serves the business and upper middle classes, and it privileges just a few lucrative genres that it can do quite well, like sports, light entertainment, and action movies over other fare. Even at its best, the entire system is saturated by hyper-commercialism, a veritable commercial carpet bombing of every aspect of human life. Oh, I'm sorry. This is FAIR. I'll talk about FAIR in a minute. But this is FAIR talking about, he's quoting the CEO. As the CEO of Westinghouse put it, we are here to serve advertisers. That is our raison d'etre. I don't know if I said that right, it's French, but basically he's saying that's the reason why we do this. We are here to serve the advertisers. It's not to serve us. It's not to serve the consumers. It's to serve the advertisers. He's giving you their slant, what they're in it for. And so as we go through media, that's what you have to know, and I think we've covered that pretty well. And so what I'm asking us to do is we have to become at least novice or perhaps even expert. Here comes the fancy words. Media ecology theorists. That's what we're going to become. Media ecology theorists. Basically, it's people. And you can go around saying that. Lately, I've been into media ecology theory. Anyway, all it is the study of how media affects society. Okay? That's what we have to become. Not great, but at least a little bit. Move from consumer to contributor. And in that, you will be able to maneuver through media a little bit better. All right. So, media ecology theory. That's cool. Media just tools. Point number two, choose to serve. Three, this is probably the hardest to swallow. Serving is difficult and good, so suffer greatly. Point number three is serving is difficult and good, so suffer greatly. And I was like, I don't think this was me coming up with this. I really feel like that was from God. And I wrestled with this. I was like, man, God, we're doing a piece on me. We're doing a sermon on media. This doesn't really fit in with my point. Yeah, but I wasn't going to argue this. I wrote it. But basically, as we go through life, as you're going through culture, here are the themes. And we've heard these verses before. But if you don't have this mindset, going through culture is going to be 10 times harder. It's already going to be hard because in the point itself, it's implying we're going to suffer. But let's read scripture about it. John 17, 14 through 19. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. They're, if I can interject, they're counterculture. Just as I do not belong to the world, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. So a lot of our prayers is, Lord, keep us safe. Lord, change the situation. That doesn't seem to be what Jesus is saying. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. So as you're marching through culture, as you're marching through media, you better be saturated in truth or else you're going to get fucked up. You're just going to be taken. And so God's not saying you need to get out of culture, you have to get out of media. He's saying you can march through it, it's fine, it's just a tool. But you need to be set apart and holy. And if we're honest with ourselves, I would say that we're usually involved in media for the wrong reasons. We joke about this sometimes. We're okay with binge-watching shows for hours and hours and hours at a time. Why are we okay with that? Why? Is it glorifying to God? If he's like, look at him. He He just watched all of Lost. Way to go, son. They just watched all of Orphan. They watched all of Breaking Bad. They watched all of in a week. You watch 7 seasons of a show in a couple weeks. That's a lot. Who of us binge read the Bible? Oh. I have once. In 7th grade, I did it. I read 3 chapters. Like, my point is not to make us feel bad. My point is not to watch TV. That's not the point. I'm not saying you can't watch TV. I'm not saying you can't love some shows. Those are designed for you to love them. They're designed to entertain you. They're designed to draw you in. You just have to know that and then go, you know what? No, I'm only going to watch 2. And I'm going to read or I'm going to listen to the Bible as much as I do that. So if I watch for now, I'm going to do this for, like, that's a crazy challenge that I was given one time. And I was like, no, that's crazy. How about every 7 to 1? How about that? He's like, you flip it. I'm like, oh, no. You went crazy. Reading 7 chapters for 1 show. That's crazy. I'm not Billy Graham. Anyway. Just what I'm asking you is become aware. Become aware of how much you receive. Is it good that you're receiving it? I don't know. Let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's another one of the verses that we've been dealing with as we go through culture. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. He's begging. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. As you go through media, you're still a sacrifice. Don't compartmentalize and go, no, this is my time, Lord. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's a huge part of getting through not only media, but culture itself. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Is it if then right there? The cause and effect. If you start doing that, then you're going to know how good's will for you, how good it is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You start to understand how God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect when you start changing the way you think, the way you start letting yourself become more like him. The media are just tools. Choose to serve. Serving is difficult and it's good. And that's what I want you to know. It's good. So be ready to suffer greatly. It's not an if, it will. And then point number 4, what you do with media is actually more important than the media itself. What you do with media is more important than the media itself. What do I mean by that? A good friend of mine, some of you might know him, said media can affect culture in a positive way by exposing us to cultures, thoughts, and ideas that may challenge our current way of life. There's some good things. As always, bring these new perspectives to God and ask for his wisdom. Walk with God through this. But it could be that God's using media and what it communicates to grow something in you. So media can be good. But media is dangerous, though. It's fueled by advertising dollars, meaning those with the most money often have the greatest influence. The love of money is the root of all evil, so there can be a sinfulness in what's presented in media. It can be tweeted, massaged, or formulated to tell the story that person with the most money wants told. Be wise and bring whatever media is telling you before God. That was from Matt Smith. Yeah, he knows a little bit about media. Something. I'll read another quote, this person we don't know, but it was, again, from this place, this company called Fair. It's, what is it? Fact and Accuracy in Reporting, that's what it was. They wrote a little piece, and in a paragraph that I pulled out says, a specter now haunts the world, a global commercial media system dominated by a small number of super powerful, mostly U.S.-based transnational media corporations. It is a system that works to advance the cause of the global market and promote commercial values, while denigrating journalism and culture not conducive to the immediate bottom line or long-run corporate interest. It is a disaster for anything but the most superficial notion of democracy, a democracy where, to paraphrase John Jay's maxim, those who own the world ought to govern it. Isn't that scary? Those who own the world ought to govern. Whoever has the most money should kind of run it. And that's just not the way God has it. You just got to know the biases. You got to know the background. It can be dangerous, right? If you get sucked in, you guys ever heard of mob mentality? It's a common term. Something just starts to happen, and before you know it, there's a whole mob doing it. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. If the mob is going that direction, it's crazy. You ever seen rioting and looting? All of a sudden, perfectly normal people that normally are decent human beings are now looting. I just got a TV, and they're running through the streets, and it's crazy, right? Normal people, but they got caught up. They got sucked in. They didn't slow down to say, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Matthew 10, 16 through 18. This is where we need to be, going through culture. It says, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Does that sound like a fair chance? I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Beware. For you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. He's telling them in their culture, in their context, the consequences of standing up for Jesus. Most of us don't get whipped anymore. Okay? But here's the thing. I wonder how many of us are being called into suffering or into testifying about Jesus, and we turn away so we never have to deal with any consequences. So what I'm saying is we have to have that open mind to say, God, if you want to take me into harsh places so that I can represent you, he makes it sound like it's an opportunity. It's not even a duty or a chore that you have to do. It's an opportunity. He says, but this will be your opportunity that you need to wrestle with right now. Do I even look at sharing the gospel as an opportunity? Do I look at standing up for Jesus as an opportunity to tell the rulers and unbelievers about me? Let's keep reading out of it, because point number five is to trust God, knowing that we're going there. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond to what or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time, for it is not you who will be speaking. That should freak you out a little bit. It's not you that's going to be talking. If you can slow down and get out of the way, here's what will happen. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I've had experiences where I'm prayerfully talking with somebody, and all of a sudden, wisdom beyond what I could produce starts coming out. And I'm going, this is a God moment. This is really cool. That is what happens when you slow down. You trust God. Here's the application, and it's going to be super fast. Monitor and be intentional about the media you use. Monitor and be intentional about the media you use. I'm going to quote Nick Love. There's this concept in journalism that media is merely a mirror of culture. It's not in the driver's seat. In other words, whatever media is doing, it was designed to attract you in. So you need to be, if you're attracted to certain media, you need to figure out, why am I so attracted to this media? Media has a unique power to shine light on your heart. Why does the news make you fearful instead of move you to pray for the pain in the world? Good question. I'll ask Nick. I don't know. Why does that movie stir lust in your heart and not pain for the affair you're watching? I know. I didn't want to read these either. It's not what goes in that defiles us, but what comes out. So monitor and be intentional about the media use, and then like that quote transitions into, then what do you do with it? Use media to do what God has called you to do. I'm not saying media is horrible. It's just a tool. But what are you receiving from that tool, and what are you giving out because of that tool? Is it a tool you use for His glory or mostly just your pleasures? Let's have the worship team come up, and I want to bless you with discernment and wisdom, because that's what we need as we go through culture. Heavenly Father, I lift up this time to you, and I lift up our people to you. Heavenly Father, we need your wisdom. We need your discernment to get through culture, or else we'll just be consumers, and we just get swept along like we're in a river just going the direction with everybody else. And God, it sounds like you're asking us to be counterculture, to be set apart and holy for you. And that's different. It's going to rustle feathers sometimes. But we are saying we are willing to stand up for you because you stood up for us. That is our reasonable sacrifice. It's our way of worshiping you in life. And so God, give us discernment. Give us wisdom. I bless our church with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.